Before you can be dispensers of his presence, you have to be receivers of his presence. Before we can overflow to our family with his presence, you have to be filled with his presence.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, friends. This is Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Hollick. I'm here with Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church, and we are in a brand new series called Presence. Not presence like what you get on your birthday. Presence like the presence of Almighty God. Pastor Mark, you know, a lot of people have a lot of religious thoughts, but there is nothing like the presence of God in your life.
That's right. And this series is all about the presence of God. Sometimes we don't understand that this is not about religion. It's about relationship. And sometimes we forget that the whole heart of what it means to follow Jesus is to walk in a place where his presence is manifest in our life. And so today's message, we're tackling that directly, what it means to restore the presence to our life. What does it mean? Have you been walking in his presence? Have you brought the presence to where you live? David wanted to bring the presence of God, the ark, back to Jerusalem, and he messed up royally as he tried to do it. There's a way of doing that and a way of not doing that.
If there's anything I could say I want in my life, it's I want the presence of God. I need the presence of God. And so I'm listening intently to this message. Pastor Mark, you're going to be teaching from 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. And is there any encouragement you'd give anybody listening today?
I would start by saying, you may not even realize this, but what you need most right now in your life is the manifest presence of God himself.
Here we are, 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through 15, restoring the presence.
You cannot give what you have not received. Before you can be dispensers of his presence, you have to be receivers of his presence. Before we can overflow to our family with his presence, you have to be filled with his presence. Before this neighborhood can experience the overflow of the powerful, peacemaking, justice-bringing presence of God, we as a church need to be overflowing with this dynamic, powerful, manifest presence of God. Before you give, you have to receive. You cannot withdraw from something that has not been deposited. Some of you have tried it at the ATM machine. It doesn't work. Like, what's wrong with my card? No, it's not your card. It's an empty account. You got to put it in before it comes out. You have to receive before you can take or give. I can't give you something unless I've received something. You can't give hope unless you've received hope. You can't love unless you've been saturated with the love of God. You can't show mercy unless you've received mercy. You can't dispense wisdom unless it's been deposited inside of you. You cannot overflow in hope and faith unless you've received it first. And so I want to talk to you about the full manifestation of the presence of God out of this chapter in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Verses 1 through 15. I love the verses. Before I get into that, I love the verse in Exodus chapter 33 where Moses says to God, "Show me your glory." And I love what Moses says to God. He says to God, "God, I need your presence. And if you don't go with us, then I don't want to go. Because if your presence is not with us, what will distinguish us from all the other people in the world? Your presence is what makes the difference." Oh. You see, if we gather together and the presence of God is not here, we're just a religious gathering, a chatterbox. But when God is present in our meetings, in our gatherings, then something extraordinary happens. Because there is power to heal, to change, to transform, to save, to take words that alter the destiny of people's lives. It's the power of the living God amongst us. I don't want to go forward. I remember praying years ago at 44th and Palina in the nursery on our knees with five other men. We were desperate for God. And I remember crying and praying to God, tears streaming down my face, overwhelmed as a 21-year-old pastor in the middle of a tough neighborhood and just not knowing what we could do or how we could bring about change. And I remember crying and praying with some men and saying, God, I quit unless you go with us. I refuse to keep ministering unless you show up. It's too big. It's too hard. I'm not in it, God, unless you're in it. Lord, if your presence is here, then I'll move forward with your presence. But don't ask me to move forward without your presence. 2 Samuel chapter 6. David again brought together all the able young men of Israel, 30,000. He and all his men went to Bala in Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who's enthroned between the cherubim on the Ark. They set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on a hill. Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the Ark of God on it. Ahio was walking in front of it. David and all Israel were celebrating with all of their might before the Lord, with castanets, harps, lyres, timbrels, sistrums, and cymbals. Let me give you a little bit of the background of this passage as we jump into it. The Ark of the Covenant was a small box, about three feet by 2 feet, a small box, gold-plated. Carved on top of the box were angels with wings that touched each other. Inside of the box, if you opened it up, were the tablets of the Ten Commandments, some manna, and a piece of Aaron's rod. Each of these symbolized times where God had manifested himself supernaturally among the people of Israel. The Ark of the Covenant, this little box, was the most holy, sacred item in all of Israel because it symbolized the presence of God. When you hear Ark of the Covenant, equate it to the presence of God. When people saw the ark, they thought the presence of God is coming with us. They took the ark and they put it in the most holy of holies, behind the curtain. People were not allowed to touch the ark because it was so holy. At one time, people looked in the ark because they were curious to see what was in there, and 70 people or so died because they opened up and just looked in the ark and they were forbidden to even look at it or touch it. It was the manifestation of the presence of God. Where they took the ark, they took the presence of God. David, who had become king, was building a city. He called it the City of David. We now know it as the City of Jerusalem. The ark was about 20 miles outside of the city of David in the house of a high priest named Abinadab. And so David, once he had built the city, he determined, I don't want to have the presence of God 20 miles outside of the city. I want the presence of God in my city. I want to be in the presence of God, not visit the presence of God. I want the presence of God to dwell among us, not just occasionally see the presence of God. I want more of God. You know, I dated my wife, Dee, for 3 years before we got married. Dating is to try to figure out, is this the person really I want to spend my life with? And so as we dated, I became more and more convinced, aha, she's the one. Not sure she was all that convinced, but I think I helped convince her. And the day came where I didn't want to just visit her. I wanted to live with her. I didn't want to just be friends with her. I wanted to marry her. I didn't want to have separate places. I wanted to form a house together. I wanted to wake up in the morning and have her beside me. So the day came where the relationship changed. I popped the question, gave her a ring, and asked her to marry me because I didn't want to just visit her house. I wanted her to be in my house. How many of you know where I'm going with this? Some of you are visitors of the presence of God. You occasionally visit a place where God is. You're a sympathizer with the presence of God, like David was 20 miles away. He would visit occasionally, but the day comes where you say, I want more than just that. I don't want to just visitation of the presence of God. I want to wake up with the presence of God. I want to go to sleep with the presence of God. I want the presence of God to be in my house, to be around me, to saturate. I want to walk with God, talk with God, speak with God, praise with God. I want more of God. So David decided he was going to bring the ark to the new city that he had built. If you're taking notes, I want you to jot this down. There's a couple things about the presence of God that I really want you to understand. Number one, the presence of God refuses to be handled casually or carelessly. So the Bible says that David went out and built a new cart to carry the ark with oxen. And as he gathered 30,000 people and put together a big party to bring the ark 20 miles to the city of Jerusalem. 30,000 people gathered together. I mean, this was like the St. Patrick's Day parade downtown. There was a big group of people, and they were celebrating and singing and dancing and playing instruments. And this was a large, large group of people. And in the middle of this, they had the ark on a cart with oxen, and Uzzah and Ahio, the two sons of the priests, were walking along the cart as people were shouting and cheering as they were taking the Ark of the Lord, which symbolized the presence of God, to Jerusalem. And as they were celebrating and cheering and dancing and singing, moving the presence of God, something happened.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Restoring the Presence, which is from Pastor Mark's brand new series called Presence. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message and give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago, as well as information about his book, Unstuck. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in a brand new series called Presence, and tonight's message is called Restoring the Presence.
I guess the streets there were kind of like the streets of Chicago. There were some potholes. And one of the wheels of the cart hit one of those potholes, and the ark started to bounce back and forth. And so one of the priests that was walking beside the ark, he raised his hand to steady the ark and to make sure it wouldn't topple over. And so he grabbed hold of the ark to steady it. All of the crowd that was around must have, whoa, that was close. They continued to dance, but something happened as soon as he lifted his hand up. When he took his hand down, the Bible says that immediately God struck him dead. If you've ever been in a parade, it takes a while for the people at the front of the parade to know what's happening in the back of the parade, right? So everybody stops and are looking at the body. People gasp and step aside. People start saying, shh, 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 quiet, tell them to stop. Finally, the entire parade stops and they look. King David is brought over and he sees the body of the priest beside the cart and the ark. And it seems to me when I read that at first, it's like, God, that seems a little extreme. I mean, give the guy a break. He's just trying to help you out a little bit. He didn't want the ark to fall on the ground, but no, there's much deeper sense of lesson that we gain from that. You see, there's a couple things we need to understand about this. First of all, the ark of God should never have been on a cart. Because the law of Moses dictated that if you're going to move the ark, you have to do it on poles that priests are carrying, praising priests are carrying. You can't put it on a cart where slobbering oxen are carrying. You put in carts wheat and rocks and supplies. That's what you do with common things. But you don't treat as common the presence of God. Oh, we live in a society that has absolutely 100% little respect and regard for the things that are holy before God. In fact, do you realize in this passage that it said the ark is that which is the name of Almighty God? That in the Old Testament, the Hebrew people would not even utter the name of God because they had so much respect and were afraid that they would use the name of God in vain. They would whisper his name with fear because they had respect. In fact, the word that we get now that we say Jehovah, which is a pretty poor translation of the name of God, it's better Yahweh, is made out of a compound where you take some of the vowels out of the word because they didn't want to say the whole name of God. They wanted to whisper the name of God carefully. Or they would refer to it as the name. Or sometimes refer to it as him, but not whisper the name because they were afraid to use the name of the Lord our God in vain. How far we've come from that, right? So now how many of you, and I'm going to mess with you, some of you now, do you realize that one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not use the name of the Lord your God in vain? What does it mean to use the name of the Lord in vain? It means that you do not say it unless you are addressing him in prayer or you are talking directly to him. So in our culture, we use the name of the Lord God all the time. G-D it as a curse word. How many of you have used the name of Jesus as an exclamation point? How many times I hear people say, Jesus, and you're not calling on the name of the Lord. You're using it as an exclamation point. Or followed by four-letter words. We started to use the name, and you say, well, I don't say that. I say, golly. Well, you know, that's a euphemism. A euphemism is you use an aberration of the word that means the same thing as the word, you just don't say the word. Oh, I'm messing with you now. Gosh is an aberration of it. Golly is an aberration of it. The geez is an aberration of it. There's a lot of things. Our culture has utter disrespect for using the name of the Lord our God in vain because we have lost a sense of respect for the name that's above every name, the name that angels bow before and cover their face and cover their feet and fly around the throne of God and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. All the earth is full of his glory. They dare utter that name, and yet we say it as a curse word. They had put the ark in a cart, a casual cart. And God said, you don't put it in a cart like the Philistines do. You put it on the shoulders of praising priests. You treat it with respect. You don't treat my presence casually or carelessly, for I am the Lord God Almighty. The other thing that happened is that Uzzah, who had been trained as a Levitical priest, he understood that you cannot touch the ark of God because it's holy. But sometimes we're raised around that which is holy and we become so familiar with it and so accustomed to it that we lose the awe of it. Do you realize that Proverbs tells us the beginning of wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. By fear, we don't mean that a negative type of fear. We mean this sense that you are awestruck by the magnificent presence and holiness of God. That when you think about God, it blows your mind. That he is awesome in power and might. And just like you would fear a huge tornado or have great respect for something that is incredibly powerful, you have that kind of fear of God because he's a burning fire. He's sovereign. He's always existed, will always exist. There is nothing outside of his reach or power. And so you have this awesome reverence for who he is. That is the fear of God. Uzzah had lost the fear of God, and so he touched what was holy when it wasn't his to touch it. And the Bible says that immediately he was struck dead. He had treated casually and carelessly that which was sacred and holy. Listen, when you come to pray before God, I'm talking about the presence of God. The presence of God is holy, it's pure, it's just. The presence of God has the power to bless, but the presence of God also has the power to do damage when it's put in the wrong place. It's the presence of Almighty God, the holiness of God dwelling among us. Ananias and Sapphira were struck dead when they lied to the Holy Spirit and came into the presence of God. The people of Israel, the ground opened up and swallowed some of them when they came against the presence of God. God is a terrifying presence, holy and loving, but yet powerful at the same time. Uzzah lifted up his hand and touched that which he was not allowed to touch, that which was holy and sacred. Years ago, when I was walking down the street praying for what this church would become, I still engraved deeply within my heart and my soul. We were just a small group of people at the time, and I was praying for what this church would be. And I'll never forget, I paused in a moment. I felt like God gave me a flash of what this church was going to look like. And I saw thousands of people when we were just like 25 people. I saw faces. And I said to God, God, I have no idea how we would reach that many people. It's just way beyond me, my ability. And I felt like God spoke to my heart. I stopped while I was on a prayer walk. I stopped right there in the middle of the street. And I felt like God spoke to me powerfully about this. Be faithful in the little, and I will bring about an increase. And then I felt like God spoke to my heart and said, and do not touch the glory because it belongs to me. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget the sense of fear that overcame me. Lord, I don't want to touch that which is yours alone. The glory that belongs to your name. The glory that belongs to you, God. May I never have the arrogance, the pride, the lack of respect that I would touch that which belongs only to the name of the Lord God Almighty. May I never touch the glory that belongs to you. God forbid me to do that. Do not let my hand or my mouth or my life ever touch that which belongs to you, God, because I know the consequences of touching that which only should be handled by the holy God of the universe. The second thing that I want you to take note of, I'm talking about the presence of God. The second thing that I want you to note is this, that the presence of God drives the angry and the fearful away.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Presence. And tonight was the first half of his message called Restoring the Presence. please do join us again tomorrow night for the second half. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of tonight's message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. Before you go, we invite you to visit New Life Midway this Sunday to hear Pastor Mark in person. It's at 5101 South Keeler, just west of Pulaski in Chicago. If you are on the train, it's the Orange Line, and you can hop off at the Pulaski stop. We are right down the street. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thank you so much for listening. Please do join us again tomorrow night for the second half of his message called Restoring the Presence. Have a wonderful night, and God bless.